So as I mentioned during the announcements, today is the divine appearance of Sita Thakurani. Mother Sita Thakurani Ki Jai. And you all correctly remember that Sita Thakurani is the consort or wife of Advaita Acharya. So who's Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. So this is a situation that Krishna incarnates personally once in a day of Brahma, but he's always sending different avatars of incarnations into this world simply to remind us that this is not our home, so that we don't get too comfortable here. So whenever the Lord appears, his associates, his devotees, his consorts, they also come along. So in the Brahma Sanghita, Lord Brahma says, Vishnu Mahan Sahiya Yasya Kalavishesho Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahangvajami. Lord Brahma, who is the first created being in every universe, he's worshipping Krishna as Govinda, the Adi Purusha, the original controller, enjoyer, creator, that's Krishna. So obviously Lord Brahma knows at this point his position. He knows who he is in relation to the Supreme Lord. He's worshipping the Supreme Lord. That this Mahavishnu, who is a portion of a portion of your plenary portion, in English the word plenary means complete. So even though the Lord expands into unlimited expansions, each expansion has all potencies. So this Mahavishnu, Lord Brahma is saying, is a portion of your portion of your portion. And he comes into this material existence, lies down, and from his pores so many unlimited universes are coming out. And in each universe there is a Brahma, like himself, and other so-called lords, the demigods, and they exist only for the duration of the Lord's breath. Only for the duration of the Lord's breath. Put that in your Guinness Book of World Records, okay? The entire duration of the universe is just for one breath of the Lord. He exhales and then he inhales and it's all over. They like to say about, you know, this person, that person can hold their breath for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Just imagine. This is the Lord's normal breathing cycle. Exhale, inhale. Imagine if he was to hold his breath. He could hold his breath eternally. So, so Lord Brahma is saying that this Mahavishnu is just a portion of your portion. So this Mahavishnu advented himself during the pastimes, the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, as Advaita Acharya. And it was by his loud crying, because being God, Mahavishnu is God, he's omniscient, so he knows how we're struggling and suffering in this material world. And it pains him, in a sense. In one sense, there is no such thing as pain on a spiritual platform, but there is pain in terms of thinking of the suffering of the living entities. Unnecessarily we're suffering. Prabhupada said it's like if you're a rich man and your son leaves home and he's loitering in the street, smoking crack, doing all kinds of crazy things, it pains you. You know this boy should be with you, enjoying, no worries, but still he's hanging out in the street and dirty, filthy, and doesn't want to come home. So it hurts you. So Krishna's like that. He's the Supreme Father. So Mahavishnu advented before Lord Chaitanya, and he had two consorts. They're both expansions of the Lord's internal energy, Yoga Maya. So one was this Sita Devi, also known as Sita Thakurani, and the other one was Sri Devi. So Advaita Prabhu, he beseeched the Lord. He sat down on the banks of the Ganges, and he prayed, offered prayers, offered puja, yajna, tulsi leaves, Ganges water, praying, entreating the Lord to please appear, because only you, Lord Chaitanya, can save all these fallen conditioned souls in this Kali Yuga. There's one verse that says that in the Kali Yuga, the living entities are like Maya Mirga, Daitipsata. We're running after the illusion of happiness in this world, like animals running out into the desert. Sometimes there's a mirage that there's water on the horizon out in the desert. The animals run out there. Of course, there's no water, so they die. So we're like that. We're simply chasing after illusion and dying. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He chases after us to try to bring us back to our sanity. So Advaita Acharya, he appeared before Lord Chaitanya, and by the time Lord Chaitanya was a young man, Advaita Acharya was already about 70 years old. But even though he's God, even though he's expansion of Krishna, he had an attitude of service towards Lord Chaitanya. He had an attitude of service. He always wanted to serve him. But Lord Chaitanya, observing the etiquette of the day, and which should be the etiquette of today also, that one generally does not want to take service from somebody in a senior position or a higher position. Somebody who is elder to you, somebody who is senior by initiation. There are different types of ways of figuring out seniority. In Vaishnava etiquette, there are five ways. So the first way is by initiation. If somebody is initiated before you, then they're considered senior to you. Once there was a gentleman, when Prabhupada was here, his son had already been initiated, but then he also came forward to take initiation. When he got initiated, Prabhupada said, now your son is your master. Your son is your Prabhu. Because he took initiation before you. Generally, the son has to always be in a lower position than the father. But because the son took initiation before the father, Prabhupada said, now he's your Prabhu. He's your master. So by initiation, that's one way of deciding seniority. And another way is by age. If somebody's older than you, just like we see, the etiquette is observed even when the Lord comes himself. Lord Ramachandra came. Lakshman, he's also expansion of God. But because Lord Ram is elder brother, whatever Lord Ram wanted, he would do. Complete surrender to the elder brother. So, seniority by age. There's seniority also by caste, meaning Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, like that. Depending on the caste, you can judge seniority. Then by ashram, we have the brahmacharis who are supposed to be supported to the grihastas, supposed to be supported to the vanaprasas, and on top of it, all the sannyasis. So in this way, we can determine seniority. And because of this, Lord Chaitanya did not want to accept any service from Advaitacharya, but he was always trying to serve him. And of course, Sita Thakurani, being his wife, she was also in this mood of service from the very appearance of the Lord. So I'm going to read a few passages from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela. Hands up everybody who's read this book from cover to cover. Only a few. Only a few. This is the cream of the cream of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So if you've not yet read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, make it your business to do so as soon as possible. The formula that I like to suggest to everybody, because we have so many books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, there's so many books. So the best way to get through them all, the formula that I like to follow is, you read 10 pages a day of every book. 10 pages a day of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, like that. And at the rate of 10 pages a day, in 1 month you finish a whole book. 10 pages a day times 30 days in a month, that's 300 pages. Most of the books are 300 to 400 pages. So in 1 month you'll finish that one book, plus 3 or 4 more if you're reading 10 pages of each one of them. So it's a very, very potent way of getting through Prabhupada's books, is to just read 10 pages a day of 3 or 4 different books. You'll get through them. And then once you've done that, then you can go back and do a more intense study. So we'll read a little bit about Sita Thakurani. This is now is right after Lord Chaitanya appeared, and she came to his maternal home to visit. So I'll just read the translations, and there's some short purports. Let's see, where are we? Yes, here we go. This is the 13th chapter of the Adi Leela, beginning with text 111. One day, shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Devi, who is worshipable by the whole world, took her husband's permission and went to see that topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presentations. Purport. It appears that Advaita Acharya had two different houses, one at Shantipur and one at Navadvip. Anybody been to both those places? Shantipur and Navadvip? Put your hand up. Yes, holy places. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya was residing not at his Navadvip house, but at his Shantipur house. Therefore, as formally explained in text 99, from Advaita's old paternal house, Nijalaya, in Shantipur, Sita came to Navadvip to present gifts to the newborn child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Text 112. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including armlets, necklaces, anklets, and bangles for the hands. There were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented to the child. Purport. From the gifts presented by Sita Thakurani, Advaita Acharya's wife, it appears that Advaita Acharya was at that time a very rich man. Although Brahmanas are not the rich men of society, Advaita Acharya, being the leader of the Brahmanas in Shantipur, was considerably well-to-do. Therefore, he presented many ornaments to the baby, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Kamalakanta Vishwas is asking for 300 rupees from the king of Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, on the plea that Advaita Acharya was in debt for that amount, indicates that such a rich man, who could present many valuable ornaments, saris and so on, thought it difficult to repay 300 rupees. Therefore, the value of a rupee at that time was many thousands of times what it is now. At present, no one feels difficulty over a debt of 300 rupees, nor can an ordinary man accumulate such valuable ornaments to present to a friend's son. Probably the value of 300 rupees at that time was equal to the present value of 30,000 rupees. 114. Riding in a palanquin covered with cloth and accompanied by maidservants, Sita Thakurani came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gorachana, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a large basket. Purport. The words Vastra Gupta Dola are very significant in this verse. Even 50 or 60 years ago in Calcutta, all respectable ladies would go to a neighboring place riding on a palanquin carried by four men. Any of our women here ever ridden a palanquin carried by four men? Anybody? Put your hand up. No, that practice is gone. The palanquin was covered with soft cotton, and in that way, there was no chance of seeing a respectable lady traveling in public. Ladies, especially those coming from respectable families, could not be seen by ordinary men. This system is still current in remote places. The Sanskrit word Asurya Pashya indicates that a respectable lady could not be seen even by the sun. Just see the difference. This is 500 years ago. A respectable lady could not be seen even by the sun. Nowadays, so-called respectable ladies are always out in the sun, practically wearing nothing, right? They're lying down, taking the sun. So you can see how far the culture has gone down. Nobody blinks anymore. A woman walks down the street half naked. It's like, in those days, she wouldn't even be seen by the sun. That's how respectable they were. In the Oriental culture, this system was very prevalent and was strictly observed by respectable ladies, both Hindu and Muslim. We have actual experience in our childhood that our mother would not walk. Remember, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking. We have actual experience in our childhood that our mother would not walk even next door to observe an invitation. Rather, she would go in either a carriage or a palanquin carried by four men. This custom was also strictly followed 500 years ago. And the wife of Advaita Acharya, being a very respectable lady, observed the customary rules current in that social environment. So before we go on reading, I just want to point out, sometimes foolishly people think that Vedic culture, or they call it Indian culture, Hindu culture, meant that women were suppressed. And no, absolutely not. Who wouldn't like to ride in a palanquin carried by four men? Is that suppression? No. Actually, because they don't know what is the purpose of life and how to achieve it, they take this kind of separation of the sexes as being sexist and oppression. No, it's not. In order to keep the material fever down, to bring it down for progressive spiritual life, it is best to keep the sexes separated. Even for mundane education, it was known 100 years ago when I went to school, 58 next month, when I was a boy, girls and boys were separated for schooling because it's known. You put them together, you're going to get all nonsense. So if you wanted your son or daughter to get a good education, you send them to a school that was all boys or all girls. Everybody knew that. But nowadays, that is also considered sexist. Not only they go to the same school, they use the same bathroom. And this is considered progressive. It's not progress, because they don't know what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. The goal of life is to bring down the material fever, to calm down the lusty desires that are prevalent in the heart and in the mind, so that one can fix the mind on transcendence, fix the mind on getting out of this world of birth and death and going back to the spiritual kingdom of God. Back to home, back to Godhead, ki jai. But foolish people don't know that. But should we take, Prabhupada said we don't conduct our movement by vox populi, which means we don't take popular vote about everything we do. We don't take that. Because he said if you want to please the public, then stand outside naked on your head and, chant. Then they'll be happy to see you running around naked. That makes the public happy. But we don't care what the public thinks in that regard. In that regard, we don't care for public opinion. We care to hear from the acharyas, those who know how to progress in spiritual life, those who know what human life is meant for. So we are hearing these pastimes from only 500 years ago. How society was so structured and so respectable that a lady would not go even next door. And that actually, Prabhupada's remembrance is not even 500 years ago. Prabhupada was born in 1896. So we're talking about the turn of the previous century. Still, it was prevalent that a woman would not even go next door, a respectable woman, unless she was riding in a palanquin or a carriage. So, is this oppression? Is this sexism? People just don't understand. They don't understand. Because they want no rules and regulations so they can get sense gratification anywhere and everywhere. This is the whole point. If there are no rules and regulations, if there's no structure, society, no culture, then anything goes. And then I feel I can get whatever I want, wherever, whenever. But this is animal life. This is animal life. The animals are comfortable, satisfying their senses under all conditions, anywhere and everywhere. But a human being is supposed to know better. Supposed to know better. Still, in spite of how loose the morals have become, in most jurisdictions there are still such laws as public indecency, isn't it? If a woman was to walk down the street topless, she may still get arrested. Still, there's some inkling of what is decent and what is not decent. Just take it a little further. Take it a little further. That was real culture. That the human body is not meant to be displayed naked like the animals. It's not meant for that. Human beings are supposed to use their intelligence for making progress in spiritual life, qualifying oneself for going back to home, back to God. But purifying. We are by nature pure, but we are covered by this material atmosphere. Covered by the most of material nature. Covered so much that you can barely see the real person. We are in illusion, thinking that the body is the person. Therefore, we look around the room and we think there is an old man, there is an old woman, young man, young woman, white, black. This is all just illusion. It's like going outside and judging everybody by the car. Here's a Lexus, here's a Mercedes, he's just a Chevy. Look at that one, he's right. Yugo. Remember Yugos? They still exist? Look at that one. No. It's just a car. Nobody gets too bewildered, at least no intelligent person. So similarly, Krishna compares the body in the Bhagavad Gita to a yantra, which you could say is like a modern car. It's a vehicle. But we are the soul inside that vehicle. We're the soul inside the car of the body. And real culture means to understand that, appreciate that, and try to realize that. Because when we come to this point of realizing the soul is different from the body, this is called self-realization. When we become self-realized, then we're not distracted anymore by the urges of the body for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Practically the whole world is running from morning till night simply to satisfy those four basic needs, which means animals that are better off than we are. They don't have to go to school for 12 years. They don't have to please some boss. You know, they're hungry, they just go out. You know, like so many people eat fish. With great endeavor, they have to build some huge boat and go out with all these nets and stuff, and they're simply raping the ocean and destroying the environment. A bird goes out fishing, they just fly up in the sky, they see where the fish is, go down, they grab a fish, and that's it. So who's better off? Who's better off? The person who's spending so much time and endeavor to make technologies go catch a fish, or the bird that just goes and catches the fish. So if you simply want to catch fish, Krishna will make the arrangement. You can come back as a seagull, you can come back as one of these seabirds. Not difficult for the Lord to arrange that. This is not our business. It's not our business simply to run hard from morning till night just to get something to eat and a roof over the head and some clothes on the back. That means, again, society has fallen apart. Prabhupada said when he came, he was in New York in the early days, and he was, in the beginning, when he was uptown, Manhattan, he was attracting mostly some older Americans to come and hear him speak. So one woman, he got to know her a little bit, and she had a son, so he asked her, why don't you get your son married? And her reply was, if he can afford a wife, he can get married. And Prabhupada said that didn't, at that point I realized it was difficult for people to get married in America. He said, in India, any common man, every poor man has a wife. It's not a problem to get a wife. But in America, it's a big deal. You have to, you know, go to school for 12 years and you have to. So we have made life into a difficult arrangement. It's by our foolishness, by our lack of intelligence, we have made human life very difficult. Human life means very, very easy. Just when the sun is shining and the season is right, you plant different types of crops. And just like my in-laws, they live in Bosnia. They have a plot of land with a house, maybe a couple of acres big. In that one plot garden, they grow so many different things, from strawberries to potatoes to zucchini, you name it. They grow so many different things on one little piece of land. So that human life is like that. You just, a little bit of endeavor, you grow your necessities, you grow particular types of plant that you could jute like that, you can make some cloth locally. That's what human life is meant for, not this huge endeavor. Prabhupada said the dog is running on four legs and you're running on four wheels and you think that you're better. You're not any better off just because you're running on four wheels. It's the same business, running, running, running. Where's money so I can buy food and get sex and this and that. That's simply the same four things that the dog is running after. So this is real culture we're hearing about. Sita Thakurani has come to see Lord Chaitanya, who has appeared in this world. And why did Lord Chaitanya come? Again, because we're so foolish in Kali Yuga that we cannot follow any of the previous processes. Kriteyajdayato Vishnu. In the golden age of Satya Yuga, people could sit down and meditate. Life was 100,000 years long. Average person lived 100,000 years. And they would sit down and half close eyes and really focus and meditate on the form of the Lord within. And in this way, come to perfection. But nowadays, even when Prabhupada was here, you know, several decades ago, he was noting that, what is this meditation? It's all nonsense. They sit down for 15 minutes with the eyes closed and they go outside and smoke a cigarette. What is this meditation? Meditating on sense gratification. That's what they're doing. So, this will not work in the Kali Yuga. And in the Treta Yuga, in humongous sacrifices, where they would have mountains of grain, golden utensils, and tons of ghee, and qualified brahmanas for conducting the sacrifice. Brahmanas that were so qualified, they needed at least four brahmanas qualified for each sacrifice. There was one who was the supervisor, supervising everything. There was another one that was perfect in chanting the mantras. Must be chanted perfectly. Even one little inflection wrong and the whole thing is messed up. So that takes training from brahmacharya life. They get trained every day, chanting, Vishnu Sahasranam and this and that. They chant perfectly. And then there's another one for offering everything into the fire. And then there's a fourth one who's his specific role at the sacrifice was to light fire without any matches. Light fire just by chanting the right mantra. You have to ignite the fire so you can start offering into the fire. But this brahmana was so expert, they could ignite the fire just with a mantra. Not with some bic or some matches, no. So whereas in this age we don't have any such qualified brahmanas. There are lots of guys walking around with, Prabhupada used to say, 2 cent thread around them. That doesn't make you a brahmana. It does not make you a brahmana. A brahmana means that patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha. You have to have these six occupations you're trained in. You have to be trained in the Vedas and you have to be eager to teach others the Vedic literature, the Vedic knowledge. You have to be trained in sacrificing. You have to be eager to teach others. This is the education is meant to be done by brahmanas, not by these paid mercenary teachers who also have so many bad habits. Many times they simply prey on the very students they're supposed to be teaching. Goes on all the time in colleges. You send your daughter to school and some professor is chasing after her. You know, this is going on. This is not real teacher. Real teacher means must have good personal habits. Must be trustworthy, honest, learned. This is a real teacher. So, and then such a person is qualified to receive charity from the public. And Prabhupada said, a real brahmana means keeps himself poor. He may receive 1 lakh of rupees in the morning and by night he again doesn't have it. Because he will use it charitably. He will distribute it, he will use it for festivals, etc. Brahmanas are not meant to accumulate money and hold on to it. If you have that tendency, then you're a Vaishya. You're not a Brahmana. Not a Brahmana. Brahmana does not want to be burdened down with anything. We know from the Bhagavad Gita that one of the names that Krishna addressed Arjuna by is Dhananjaya, which means conqueror of wealth. So why did he call Arjuna Dhananjaya? Well, wealth is required for, if you're in the government, if you're Kshatriya leading the society, protecting the society. So, for this Rajasuya sacrifice that they were going to perform for Yudhishthira Maharaj, they needed a lot of money, a lot of wealth. And Krishna advised Arjuna that in a former age, Treta Yuga, when they used to have these tremendous sacrifices. Again, they used to have all these golden utensils. At the end of the sacrifice, the local king who would conduct the sacrifice, he would give so much gold to the brahmanas. But the brahmanas were so detached, they would just throw it away. They would just throw it away. So Krishna said, over time, there became this hill of gold just sitting there. Just see. Nobody would even bother with it. All these golden utensils were just piling up. And then over time, over thousands of years, it became covered over. So Krishna told him where to go and find all that gold. And Dhananjaya. So, the brahmanas are required. Brahmanas are required. We don't have any such brahmanas in this age, in this Kali Yuga. And then, Chaitanya, Dwapara Parichayayam, in the Dwapara Yuga, which is the age just before Kali Yuga, elaborate temple worship. Worshipping the deities, but not just like we're doing now with plastic jewelry, and by the way, it's plastic, don't be fooled. In the beginning, the devotees wanted to give the deities real gold, and the Prabhupada said, no, you just attract thieves. So in the previous age, in the Dwapara Yuga, everything was again, genuine gold and diamonds. You wouldn't dare bring some plastic bracelet to give the deities. Everything was gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, like that, everything real. And therefore, when the British and the Muslims, when they invaded India, they were astonished at how much wealth was just lying around in that country. Because again, Indian culture at that time was Brahminical culture, so they were not fazed by all this wealth. It was not their modus, it was not their, what they were living for. So there was so much wealth lying around in India that invaders were always astonished. So many huge rubies and diamonds and gold, and the British were astonished when they saw some of the jewels that were there. But generally speaking, again, the Indians are not. The Chachiyas, they lived elaborately, but the Brahmanas lived very simply. Prabhupada gave the example of one Brahmana, famous Krishna Nagar. He was famous for being very learned. So one local Zamindar came to him and said, my dear Brahmana, you're very famous for being learned, and I would like to do something for you. I am a very wealthy man. I can give you whatever you like. Brahmana said, I don't need anything. He said, but I can give you. He said, no. He said, I have a tamarind tree. My wife picks some leaves from there. I have students that I'm teaching, and they bring some offering of rice. My wife cooks the rice and tamarind leaves, and in this way we live. He was not needy. He was not saying, finally, I'm sitting here for so long chanting, and finally my bus has come, my train has come in, my boat has come. Now I can enjoy. No, he refused. I don't need anything. Because for a real Brahmana, having wealth is a complication. It's like inviting temptation into your heart. So they don't need that. They don't want that. We're trying to purify the heart, to make the heart a suitable sitting place for the Lord, so that we can peacefully chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just one or two more verses and we can finish this pastime. So when Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachidevi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child. For she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. Purport. A petari is a kind of big basket that is carried in pairs on the ends of a rod balanced over the shoulders. The man who carries such a load is called a bhari. This system of carrying luggage and packages is still current in India and other oriental countries, and we have seen that the same system is still current even in Jakarta, Indonesia. Next verse. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. So we should pray for that day, when we come before the deities and we feel like our hearts are melting out of affection. In the beginning, obviously that's not there. Sometimes it seems like a catch-22. Krishna says, you offer me everything. Especially what you eat. Patram, pushyam, phalam, toy, whatever you eat, you can give me a leaf, flower, fruit, but do it with love. So this seems like a catch-22. I'm joining this movement, trying to reawaken my love for God, but he's saying do everything with love. How can I do it with love if my love is not yet reawakened? So, act as if you love him. And what does that mean? Pay very close attention to everything you do as service to the Lord. In other words, when you go into the Lord's kitchen, pay close attention to what you're doing. Don't put, as somebody did once, I'm not going to name names, the sour salt that you use for making curds when you boil the milk. Somebody put that in a preparation thinking it was sugar. Can you imagine what it tasted like? That means totally spaced out. Totally spaced out. So even if we don't have, even if the love is not yet awakened in the heart, pay close attention. Whatever you do for the Lord, do it with full attention. So just because you know who it's being offered to the Supreme Person. I'm going to name an example. If we heard that, you know, Barack Obama was going to come to visit next Sunday, everybody would be so excited and cleaning this and, So Barack Obama is nothing compared to Lord Krishna. So we should always be in that mood. Cleaning nicely for Krishna, cooking nicely for Krishna, preaching nicely for Krishna, cleansing the heart nicely for Krishna. Take it seriously. We have to take it seriously. The soul within the body is like a diamond covered over by mountains of dirt. Recently there was in the news some football player. I didn't read the whole thing, it was on the internet. Some guy for some football team. He was wearing two expensive diamond studs in his ears. Now the team has a rule, when you go to even practice, you should take off your jewelry. But he forgot. So each one was worth $30,000. Now during the practice, he lost one of them. So after practice, he and all the other guys, they were down on their hands and knees searching the entire field for this one little diamond stud. They didn't find it. So a diamond stud is nothing compared to the soul. So if we're willing to spend hours searching for a diamond stud, we should be ready to spend lifetimes to cleanse the heart so we become qualified to go back to the kingdom of God. We have to take it very seriously. Okay, I'll read this last purport and I'll let you go. I know you're eager for prasadam. The verse, she blessed the newborn child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, may you be blessed with a long duration of life. But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. Purport, Dakini and Shankini are two companions of Lord Shiva and his wife, who were supposed to be extremely inauspicious. Having been born of ghostly life, it is believed that such inauspicious living creatures cannot go near a neem tree. At least medically, it is accepted that neem wood is extremely antiseptic, and formerly it was customary to have a neem tree in front of one's house. Do they grow here in California? Anybody? Sure, everything grows in Southern California. Maybe we should plant some neem trees around here somewhere. Yeah. On very large roads in India, especially in Uttar Pradesh, there are hundreds and thousands of neem trees. Neem wood is so antiseptic that the Ayurvedic science uses it to cure leprosy. Medical scientists have extracted the active principle of the neem tree, which is called margosic acid. Don't forget, Prabhupada was in this pharmaceutical business, so he knows all these things. Neem is used for many purposes, especially to brush the teeth. Of course, nowadays we're so sophisticated we have to buy, Colgate toothbrush or something like that. But no, neem wood is good for brushing the teeth. In Indian villages, 90% of the people use neem twigs for this purpose. Because of all the antiseptic effects of the neem tree and because Lord Chaitanya was born beneath a neem tree, Sita Thakurani gave the Lord the name Nimai. Later in his youth, he was celebrated as Nimai Pandit. And in the neighborhood villages, he was called by that name, although his real name was Vishvambhara. What does Vishvambhara mean? Maintainer of the universe. Yeah, Vishva means universe. So Lord Chaitanya is known as the maintainer of the universe. Those who chant Gayatri, we know. We meditate on Lord Chaitanya as the maintainer of the universe. So, Sita Thakurani, being expansion of the internal energy of the Lord, this is her appearance day. We should meditate on her, pray for her mercy so we can achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we cannot get the mercy of Krishna. So, Sita Thakurani ki jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Dr. Vrinda ki jai. Hari Hari Bol. If anybody has any quick question or comment before you go for prasadam. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. Glory to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay. Rantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.